I'm going to be, I'm going to just go right into this. I'm going to be talking about another aspect of this study that has to do with introducing some classical biological control agents and parasitoids. And I'm here kind of wondering why I ended up in this section here, but maybe you're wondering why I'm in this section since I'm doing classical biocontrol. But Sean insisted that we do this presentation in a crop pest management section, and I wanted to follow this talk since I knew he'd do a nice introduction to the biology of lichens and whatnot. And I could just move right in to other aspects of the parasitoids. So, yeah, I'm going to be myself and others have been introducing some parasitoids for lichens control across the country and other parts of, and as well as in Canada. I'm focusing on this talk. Will just touch briefly on the. On the Central Valley of California, and then more importantly on the strawberry system on the Central Coast, where I'm working with Sean. So I'll be talking about a little bit about Central California, then the releases on the Central Coast, and so why release these? Why introduce parasitoids into for control of lichens? Well, in survey work that I've done, and it's been done years ago, going back to the 60s, there's no specific parasitoids that attack lichens in Central California. And that's also true for strawberries on the Central Coast, but I did find a native parasitoid that does enter the system early in the season when it drops down. It's pretty non-functional for the remainder of the season. It really has no impact in terms of controlling lichens in late season in the strawberries. So. That's the big motivating factor. These are the two parasitoids that I've worked with. It's they're braconids in the genus Peristenus. One's Peristenus diagnutus and one's Peristenus relictus, formerly called Stygicus. Here you see the San Joaquin Valley, just to orient you. The black circle encircles the San Joaquin Valley, and then the area where Sean's been working and I've been working is the Central Coast, circled in green. And I'm just going to touch on the results of my releases starting back in 1998. And in the Central California, in the very center part, Fresno and Bakersfield down in this area, basically the releases failed. But we're far more successful in a plot of alfalfa that I manage personally that's in the Sacramento area. And based on that success, I decided to go ahead and see if we can get these things established on the Central Coast. So, hail on the successful establishment of these Peristenus species in Sacramento. This is a graph showing the population trends in the parasite, which is the black line, and in lichens, which are the green bars. This is the plot of alfalfa that we made the releases into, which is in an industrial area in the northern part of the city of Sacramento. So it's not directly in an agricultural area. The reason for the rise in the lichens population during the first number of years when I was doing the releases, I stopped the releases right here, has to do with the fact it's just a little island of alfalfa in a city, and this increase reflects the buildup of the population, the natural buildup of the lichens population, a very, very succulent alfalfa field, and also migration. And the parasites continue to track the increase in the lichens numbers, increasing in parasitism over the years. What I show are the peak values for each year. And they peaked in about 2004. And now they're starting to drop a little bit, though it's bouncing up. And you notice that the lichens population has plummeted from a high of 20 nymphs per sweep down to this last summer of one nymph per sweep in that plot of alfalfa. And I would attribute most of this drop in the population due to a new source of mortality on the lichens nymphs, which is from the parasites. So based on this, I moved to the coast where I'm now going to talk about strawberries and the use of non-crop habitat and helping to introduce these parasites into this cropping system. So that's what's pretty novel about this is kind of a couple of things. It's classical BC and a row crop, which is rarely done, and it's being done by manipulating the system using some non-crop plants. This is a satellite image of the field that Sean and I have been working in. It's farmed by Pacific Golden Farms, Larry Eddings, the president. And you should notice that it's surrounded by pasture, which goes dry during the middle of the summer. So there's really not a lot of really good habitat to support lichens or parasitoids in that system, if there are no strawberries present. Now, Sean invited me to make releases into this area because he was working with these strips of alfalfa. I knew that alfalfa was highly attractive to these parasitoids. It made an excellent combination. Also, it's not sprayed since it's organic. That really made it enticing. So here I show the same strip of alfalfa that Sean mentioned in his presentation, and you see the strawberries. And so these strips served as, that's where I made my initial releases, right into those strips of alfalfa, and those were monitored as well as the both Liguus and strawberries, Liguus and the parasitoids in the strawberries. Okay, that's you just saw that picture anyway. That's what it looks like, the big picture. That's how it's set up. I guess there are about a strip every 40 rows of strawberries or so. I don't know how they came up with that number, but they did. Now I'm going to present results from 2005. This is 1 year after our last releases in this area. And what I show is a graph that describes the change in parasitism in the strawberry, in this area. The green bars represent parasitism in the alfalfa. The red bars represent parasitism in the strawberries. And what you should notice is that we've got quite a bit of parasitism going on in the strips of alfalfa. In the strawberries, it's a little bit different. There's an increase and there's kind of a drop. There's actually you don't see any parasitism occurring in the strawberries. So these data show a couple of things. At first, there's migration going on from the alfalfa into the strawberries. The only source of parasites in the strawberry field the only source in that area had to be these strips of alfalfa. There's no other these parasites did not exist in this area prior to our releases because they're exotic to California. The second thing, take-home message, is that the parasites are actually reproducing in the strips of alfalfa, and they're also reproducing in the strawberries. This has never been done before in California. There's never been an introduction of a parasitoid into strawberries and had them continue to reproduce like this. And so to answer the question about why the parasitism basically dropped out to nothing in the strawberries, it really had to do with the density of Liguus in those strawberries, as this next graph shows. This is density of Liguus, and the red line is the density of Liguus in strawberries, and it's extremely low, and it drops just virtually to nothing during the end of the season. And but if you look at the density of Liguus in the strips of alfalfa, much, much higher. Now, granted, these density counts were taken by sweeping in the alfalfa, and these density counts were taken by vacuum. Not exactly the same kind of sampling approach, but they're somewhat comparable. But there's several orders of magnitude difference between the densities that we're getting in the strips of alfalfa versus strawberries. All right. This shows the long-term trend in the Liguus densities in that area. And starting in 2003 to 2007, what you notice is a drop of 6 Liguus nymphs per 50 vacs down to 0.5 this last summer. Why the long-term decline? Well, obviously, probably it could have to do with a new farming management system in that area, but it probably also has something to do with the regional establishment of the parasites. And these four graphs show the population trends in parasitism and Liguus in 2004, 5, 6, and 7. All I want to do is point out to you that the parasitism, which is the black line, is pretty closely tracking that of the Liguus density. So if you were to correlate the two populations, there's a very high correlation factor, and which indicates that there's a strong density-dependent relationship between the two, which is commonly associated with a highly specific parasitoid having a pretty good impact on that population. So I'd like to at least I think that at least in part that this change in population of Liguus in that particular area has something to do with the releases of the parasites or the set colonization and spread. And we hope to get a better grasp on exactly what the role is of the trap crop versus the parasitism by these parasites in the upcoming years. Right, that's my summary slide, and I'll just stop there.
You've got a couple seconds.
I got a couple seconds, okay. Anyway, we definitely got 2 to 3 years of establishment of the parasite in the area. There's no doubt that this alfalfa played a role in colonization and continued suppression of those of Liguus, and that importation biocontrol can work in a row crop. Anyways, that's it. Okay, one question.